You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this episode of Long Innings, we take a look at how the IPL is different from other T20 leagues.
There are quite a few T20 leagues going around these days. There is the IPL, the Big Bash from Australia, the Pakistan Super League, the Caribbean Premier League, the Bangladesh Premier League, and South Africa's Manzi League, just to give you a few examples. Now, while England has the county-based T20 Blast, England too is going to be migrating to a franchise-based league with this advent of the 100 on the horizon. With such a plethora of leagues, all with a similar concept of, you know, 6 to 8 franchisee teams playing against each other, having a mix of local and international talent plying their trade, IPL still manages to stand out. And there are a few reasons which make it stand out among other T20 leagues around the world. On this podcast, we take a look at those reasons. The concept. When it came about, there was nothing quite like it in the world of cricket. I mean, sure, there were T20 tournaments around the world at the time, but not a franchise-based league. It certainly made it a unique thing from the very beginning. Corporations and individuals owning a team was heard of in, for example, the US sports leagues and also in European football leagues, but nothing of the sort was known of in cricket. Then there were also the new concepts like player auction, tags like icon players, etc. There was a limit to the number of overseas players that could be part of the 11, and this was capped at 4. Now, while most leagues have the same concepts now, because IPL came there first, it really was viewed as the original, and that has added to the allure of the league. The money involved. There is no question about the fact that the IPL is the richest league in terms of the money that the league makes and the monies that the players involved also make. There are at least 25 players who earn more than $1 million US dollars per year and 67 players who earn more than $500,000. Now, just to give you a context, the salary cap for each team in the concluded BBL season was 1.7 million Australian dollars to be divided among the entire squad. The highest paid cricketers in the PSL earn just a little over 550,000 US dollars, limited to 3 per side. And such is the sheer money strength of IPL. And the sponsorship money is astronomical as well. Vivo, the current title sponsor, has paid 2,199 crore rupees, that's about $315 million, for a 5-year deal. Now, this is really much more than the $14.3 million that was paid for a 3-year period of rights for the PSL. The telecast rights are similarly of a very high value, fetching the BCCI 16,347 crore rupees. In dollar terms, that's 2.3 billion US dollars, and this, by the way, is over 5 years. Now, while this is the reason for the much higher salaries for players, as I'd mentioned earlier, it also results in better prize money and more money for all involved. For instance, the winners of the IPL 2018 netted 20 crore rupees and the runners-up 10 crore rupees. The other teams also get money depending on where they finish on the table. Not just that, even the grounds which hosted the matches got a kitty of 50 lakhs or 25 lakhs depending on the number of games they hosted. The leading players of the tournament, most valuable player, purple cap holder, orange cap holder, emerging player, etc., also net 10 lakh rupees. Apart from these, there is the sheer number of awards after each match. Not just the player of the match award, there's also the best hitter of the match, the best catch in the match, the stylish player of the match, the game changer of the match, and so on. The prize money for all of these awards is 1 lakh rupees, and this serves as good pocket money for the award-winning player. No other league in the world is financially so rewarding. It's not entirely surprising then that at the end of IPL 2018, each team earned a profit anywhere between 75 crore rupees to 200 crore rupees. The BCCI netted over 2,000 crores in surplus at the end of the IPL 2018 season. It makes it viable for the franchises and the board alike. This has also propelled the brand value of IPL, and that is now estimated to be around $6.3 billion. The standard of play. Ever so often we hear players, commentators and team officials and also coaches saying that the standard of play at the IPL is just a notch below the international standards. Now, this is not hard to believe. For starters, the starting 11 of each team at least has 3 to 4 players who are playing or have recently played international cricket for India. Sample the playing 11 of any team and this will by and large be true. Not just teams of Mumbai Indians who are the likes of Rohit, with Bumrah, Pandya or CSK, who have Dhoni, Raina, Jadeja and Jadhav. But even some of the sides which are not doing well have some really good Indian players. RCB, for example, which at the end of the 2019 season occupies the bottom spot, has the Indian captain Virat Kohli in it, and also other international players like Chahal and Umesh Yadav. Each team also has the best of international players available. Players who are basically touted as among the best we have in the world and are clearly integral to their home country teams as well. Whether it's a Gale, Miller or Ty of Kings XI Punjab, or Butler, Stokes, Steve Smith or Jofra Archer for Rajasthan Royals, or even a Moeen Ali, Marcus Stoinis and AB de Villiers for Royal Challengers Bangalore. Not to forget, of course, Warner, Besto, Rashid Khan and Kane Williamson for Sunrisers Hyderabad. These are really international stars on the world stage, not just players who make up the numbers. Now, when each team has such players playing against each other, it's but natural that you get some extremely good cricket. The level of batsmanship or bowling in display often leaves everyone amazed. Some of the other leagues in the world do not even have four foreign players and certainly do not have the best of the crop available. Leagues in Australia and England allow only two foreign players per playing 11. The IPL administrators also recognize sustained good performances from players. Now, while most T20 leagues have a player of the series concept, the IPL also recognizes the highest run getter with an award, the orange cap. It recognizes the highest wicket taker with a purple cap award. It's recognizing emerging talent with the IPL Emerging Player of the Season award, and also has a stylish player of the season award for that player who's been the most pleasing to watch during the tournament in the way he batted or bowled. There's also an award for the best catch of the season. The leader of the race to win the orange or purple cap gets to wear a special cap of the same colour throughout the season, and the wearer usually wears it with pride during the matches. Now, the concept of awards for leading run getters and wicket takers has also been adopted by the PSL from its second season onwards. The window. The reason some of the other leagues are not able to field all of the best international stars or also the best cricketers from their own country is because they're simply not available to play. When the BBL or the PSL or the CPL takes place, it usually clashes with the international cricketing calendar. November to January, that's the period of the BBL, is peak summer in the Southern Hemisphere, so there's a lot of international cricket being played in South Africa, Australia and New Zealand at the time. It's also winter in the subcontinent at the time, so teams do end up touring India, Pakistan, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. Now, the Feb to March period of the PSL also clashes with the international calendar for the same reasons. The CPL clashes with the English summer, and thus players from England and teams touring there miss out. Example, the 2019 CPL will clash with the Ashes series in England, and therefore there's no chance of the best players from those countries participating in the CPL. It is for the same reason that many England internationals are not really able to play the England T20 Blast. Now, the IPL is usually held during the Indian summer, that's the subcontinental summer, when not much of international cricket takes place on the subcontinent. Ideally, it's not a time to play cricket at all, but most games are night games. It's usually held during the April to May time frame, when it's winter in the Southern Hemisphere, and thus not really a cricket season there. Not much cricket, at least international cricket, is played in England as well, up to the mid-May period, and this allows for England players to participate as well. So, essentially, most players and crucially the best players from around the world are free to participate in the IPL. There used to be clashes with international cricket in the early years of the IPL, but as the IPL grew in size, market and importance, even the ICC recognized this, and now there is a window in the ICC calendar for international cricket to accommodate the IPL, leading to a majority of the players being available for virtually the full tournament. The fans. The IPL would not really have been successful, as successful, if not for the manner in which the fans have lapped it up year after year. It's the summer blockbuster event of the year, being held at a time when most children are done with their school final exams and when the vacations are on usually in most parts of the country. You couldn't really have asked for a better time. The matches begin at 8 p.m. on weekdays, and that makes it easy for folks to either watch it from home or, you know, go to the stadium after a day at work. It is the highest attended T20 league in the world, ahead of the BBL in second place. The average attendance per match hovers around the 30,000 mark, making it the sixth most attended sports league in the world. It is also the most viewed T20 league in the world. Almost 450 million people tuned in to watch the 2018 IPL, with 173 million viewers watching the finals that year. Now, according to Star Sports, 4 weeks into the 2019 edition, Star Network had seen about 411 million viewers tuning in. Now, this is close to the total tournament reach of last year, Star said in a statement. It is also estimated that women and kids account for 52% of the tournament's viewership this season, evidence that the IPL continues to be popular across all ages. There's more, of course. Homegrown OTT service Hotstar recorded 18.6 million concurrent viewers on its platform on Sunday's IPL final between the Mumbai Indians and Chennai Super Kings. The viewership came from both mobile and desktop platforms. Now, according to media reports, Hotstar surpassed its own peak of 10.7 million concurrents during IPL 2018's final and of 12.7 million concurrents in a round-robin game on the 28th of March. Now, in April, the Disney-owned service announced that IPL 2019 had garnered a viewership of 267 million within the first 3 weeks itself. The total stands at 300 million this year, compared to 202 million last year. Now, these numbers clearly are significantly higher when compared to other leagues. The fan polls conducted live and online during the matches also provide an interactive experience for the viewers. The fans also vote for their favorite catch of the season, etc. And it's this level of engagement with the fans of the game that is unique to the IPL. The owners. Apart from cricket, Indians are fascinated by Bollywood and big business families. Both are now involved with the IPL in a big way. Almost all teams are owned by a combination of big business houses or businessmen like Mukesh Ambani in the case of Mumbai Indians, the Jindals and the GMR Group in the case of Delhi Capitals, the Burmans with the Kings 11 Punjab, the Sun Network with Sunrisers Hyderabad, India Cements in the case of Chennai Super Kings, or Bollywood personalities like Shah Rukh Khan and Juhi Chawla with respect to Kolkata Knight Riders, Preeti Zinta in the case of Kings 11 Punjab, and even Shilpa Shetty, who was a former owner of Rajasthan Royals. Now, not just this, it's not uncommon to see other stars and film personalities at the matches ever so often. Now, this again is something unique to the IPL when compared to other T20 leagues around the world. These are not just local businessmen, but global leaders. Ambani is one of the richest men in the world, and United Spirits Limited, the owner of RCB, is the second largest spirits company in the world by volume. Shah Rukh Khan is one of the richest movie personalities in the world. So when the richest and most powerful people from businesses and the movies are heavily invested in the IPL, it is bound to get the requisite attention. Then the miscellaneous reasons. Strategic timeouts. Now, while this concept is not alien in sport, it was a first of its kind in cricket when introduced during the 2009 edition of the IPL. It was initially a 7.5-minute break at the end of 10 overs of an innings, but later modified to be two 2.5-minute breaks during an innings. Obviously, done for commercial reasons, the timeouts are not very popular with the fans, but will be persisted with. Fan parks. The 8 teams play across 10 to 12 stadiums in a year during a season, which leaves many smaller towns and cities bereft of any live action. Thus, to create a stadium-like atmosphere in smaller towns, the IPL governing committee started to screen matches in big screens in school and college playgrounds, where the fans could come and watch the match among a few hundred other people. This was started in 2015 and was instantly popular. After parties. While these have been stopped now, in the initial years, matches played during the IPL were followed by after parties, usually thrown by the hosting franchise, where players and celebrities used to mingle. Thankfully, people realized that this was not the best idea, and these have been stopped. These are then a few reasons which really make the IPL different from other T20 leagues going around.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.